If, as Mr. Truss says, the Speaker serves the Parliament, not the government, how is it that the Prime Minister can say that he has put her on probation, or that she can say she still has Mr. Abbott's confidence and will stay? In other words, is the office of the Speaker a parliamentary or a party position? These are constitutional rather than simply political questions that go to the heart of the workings of the Parliament. The University of Melbourne's Laureate Professor Emeritus Cheryl Saunders is one of the country's leading constitutional law experts.
The question of whether she is appointed Speaker in the first place or has changed as Speaker is a question for the House of Representatives. Now, of course, the Prime Minister has the majority in the House of Representatives so that at the end of the day he can decide whether these changes are made or not. But it seems to me to be very important to remember that there are two separate institutions here and that the Parliament is the one that's formally engaged under the Constitution and by convention.
By convention, in the UK system, the Speaker resigns from his or her party. Should a Speaker in this country attend party room meetings, for instance?
Look, this has been a long-running discussion in Australia. Some speakers have tried to find a halfway house by only attending parts of party meetings and not doing overtly party political things. I think ideally the speaker should withdraw much more substantially from party politics than has been the case in Australia, because it's a slippery slope, as we see.
So, but neither party has been willing to make that reform?
Neither party has. It's very often put down to the size of our parliaments and the need to look after your electorate and so on.
Is what's going on now markedly different from what happened with speakers of the past, speakers such as Jim Cope under Whitlam or Leo McClay?
I haven't done a study of all the speakers of the past, but my impression, both looking at the proceedings in Parliament and the discussion that's gone on over the last few days about attending party fundraisers, is that this is yet a further degradation of the office of the Speaker.
And should we, in fact, look at this more rigorously? Should both parties have some kind of get-together so that in the future we reform it so that it is, say, more like the British system?
Look, I think it would be great if the two major parties got together to discuss that. And I think that the whole question of the role of the Speaker is something that needs to be considered in the context of parliamentary reform and the status of Parliament. Parliaments have fallen into a degree of disrepute at both Commonwealth and state level, partly because of the way in which Question Time operates, partly because it's not really being used as a forum to debate major matters except very occasionally. I think it is in the interest of Australian democracy for us to be able to admire our parliaments, to be able to regard them as a forum in which serious debates occur, and that the role of the Speaker is one important key in taking that step.
And where might you start with, say, a new rule that said there would be a free vote of all MPs without a party line whip on who should be the Speaker?
Well, you might start there, or you might start with the expectations of the role of the Speaker himself or herself, not being actively engaged in party political activities, not being actively engaged certainly in fundraising and partisan activities of that kind, with at the same time a degree of respect from the other side of the House for the Speaker and for the Speaker's electorate, if you like. I've spoken to other people about this in the past, and they've sometimes suggested that, for example, if the Speaker were not to be too much of a party political player, the government would nevertheless need to accept that they needed to look after the Speaker's electorate if the Speaker wasn't in a position to make representations on the part of their electorate, and that the opposition would need to respect that. So it would require both sides of the House, but it doesn't seem to me to be at all beyond the bounds of possibility.
Professor Emeritus Cheryl Saunders, constitutional expert from the University of Melbourne.